Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, we have a great program lined up for you this evening. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that is really deep concern to me. Today, as I was driving back from the hospital, going to a medical meeting there, which I go to on a fairly regular basis, I heard, of course, the announcement that the Supreme Court, in its wisdom, had struck down the sodomy laws in Texas, and they had also struck down some laws here in California. By, of course, striking down the sodomy laws in Texas, they strike down the sodomy laws all across America, and homosexuals are given the ability to proceed with their lifestyle without any legal impediment at all. Here in California, the laws that they struck down will take away the criminal charges against all sorts of priests and pedophiles. Now, because, of course, what they did was there was a law that had a statute of limitations on sex crimes. This has been limited here in the California. So they reinstituted those limits. Many of the sex crimes have occurred 10 or 15 or more years ago. And, of course, the Supreme Court said you can't try the pedophiles, the homosexuals, the other people who have been molesting children and others. That's illegal. And so there'll be about 500 cases that will probably be thrown out, and the people will go stark free. And, you know, the question is, well, what's wrong with doing away with sodomy laws? Does it really matter what people do in the privacy of their own homes? I mean, after all, is it fair that there should be a law against sodomy and the homosexual lifestyle? Shouldn't homosexuals be entitled to the same rights that everybody else should? Well, I think that the big question is not what you think or what I think, but what does God think? America was established as a free nation based upon God's laws, upon God's principles, upon the Holy Scriptures. The original laws of America were based upon Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, and they were based upon the Bible. And America was a great nation because we adhered to God's law. Well, the question is, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm sure that there will be happiness all across America, but I would suggest to you that God is a real factor in everything going on. And I really fear that God is going to bring his wrath on this country. There is no incidence in all history where a nation has snubbed their fingers at God, has basically said, we're going to do what we want to do, doesn't matter what you say, and that nation has survived. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, but I think that we're going to see increasing signs as far as weather, as far as physical signs and earthquakes, and I think there's going to be probably biological and chemical nuclear attacks on America. And as we know from the Old Testament, many times God used the Assyrians, the wicked Assyrians, to destroy the people of Israel because they turned against him. Could that happen in America? Is that just a myth from the past? Or is that something we should be seriously concerned about? Well, this evening we're going to talk about something else that I think is going to be used to take away the freedom of the American people, because I'm not sure they're still entitled to freedom because they don't know where freedom comes from, with that idea that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And with us this evening in studio is Joan Paris, and she's been studying the USA Patriot Act. Now, you must understand that the incident that occurred on September 11th, the tragic death of 3,000 Americans, there would have been a lot more if the head of security and Morgan Stanley took up the top two floors of the South Tower, if he hadn't defied the orders of the Port Authority and gotten his people out of the South Tower, over 1,000 Morgan Stanley employees left against orders from the Port Authority. They kept saying, stay at your seat, stay at your seat, there's nothing to worry about. Ignore the flames and the smoke coming out of the North Tower. Ignore the people jumping out the windows. You were ordered to stay at your seat. Well, they got out. Fortunately, there were only 3,000 deaths. There would have been a lot more if the people in charge had had their way. But as a result of September 11th, we passed all sorts of new laws, and most of them planned long ahead of time. Certainly the Office of Homeland Security concept was laid out in a report put out by the National Commission on Security in the 21st Century, the Phase 3 report issued a year before the terrorist attack, basically called for the creation of something similar to the Office of Homeland Security. The Phase 1 report in 1999 had announced we'd have terrorism here in America. Everything that's happened has been scripted long, long, long ago, and you might as well understand that. But the USA Patriot Act, actually, of course, the ideas for that were really brought out in 1995 after the Oklahoma City bombing, and many of the pieces of draconian legislation that Bill Clinton tried to get through at that time and Congress refused to vote for were enacted by President Bush's administration in 1991, just a few days after the September 11th attack. 26 days after September 11th, the USA Patriot Act was law. Joan, what's wrong with the USA Patriot Act? Why should anybody be concerned about it, other than the fact that the administration wouldn't let anybody read the bill before they forced the people to vote it, and who could be against patriotism? Against the USA Patriot Act.
Well, isn't it amazing, Dr. Stan, that our Congress was not allowed to read this act before it was voted upon and passed into law over all of the people of the United States? When you download the act, it's 143 pages. And what's wrong with it? You know, I have attended so many international United Nations and State of the World Forum meetings, United States Conference of Mayors meetings over the last 7 or 8 years. And one of the most striking statements that I've heard, and I hear a lot of things at those meetings, when I was in Johannesburg at the Earth Summit, the 10-year follow-up last September, there was a man who is the clerk of the courts for Miami-Dade County. And I asked him a question in a press conference about this UN program called Agenda 21, or referred to as the Implementation of Sustainable Development, and how that meshes with our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And he said, well, absolutely. He said, individual rights, individual liberties will have to take a back seat to the collective. So when I go through the Patriot Act, I'm looking at this in the context of all of these other documents and agreements that I have read. Of course, we do have certain God-given rights, and those have been protected for us in our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But I find, Dr. Stan, that they are being whittled away, and they are being whittled away by elected and appointed officials and bureaucrats, that many of whom have no concept of what they're doing, and they're allowing a very small cadre of very evil men to destroy this nation and the liberties that have protected this people. But then, of course, you know, we have to bear some responsibility. Freedom is not free, and all people need to be aware of what's happening, hold our officials accountable. The United States Patriot Act was, of course, put into law just 44 days after September 11th. So obviously it's not something that was just thrown together. The, all of the components of this were in effect or in the wings, waiting to be ushered in for this momentous occasion. And October 25th, 2001 is the date that this was passed by Congress. And the act says that it is to deter and punish terrorist acts in the United States and around the world. So we think that this is for the United States because it was passed in our Congress, but it states right at the very opening of this act that it's to punish terrorism also any place around the world. It is designed to enhance law enforcement investigatory tools and for other purposes. And that's the exact language of the bill, and for other purposes. As you go through this Patriot Act, we will see that there are many, many phrases that are very open-ended. They can be allowed to be interpreted in any way, Dr. Stan. It's very broad. Title I of this, and let me say at the outset here that of this 143 pages, the first 79 pages, almost 80 pages, have to do with banking and money laundering. So it is amazing how this is addressing all of our financial institutions. It's broken down into different titles. And the first title of this act is enhancing domestic security against terrorism. And it states that there's a counterterrorism fund that's been established. And the amounts in that will be available without fiscal year limitations. And the monies can reimburse any Department of Justice component for any costs incurred in connection with domestic or international terrorism. It's kind of a bottomless pit of your resources and mine. I don't know where all this money is going to come from without destroying our already very weak and fragile country. It includes, without limitation, paying rewards and threat assessments of federal agencies and their facilities. And it will reimburse any agency of the federal government for costs to detain in foreign countries, again, not on our soil, any individuals accused of acts of terrorism that violate the laws of the United States.
Now, I think that something that Joel Skousen had, and I'd hope to have him here on the program to talk about it, apparently we have signed a treaty with Europe so that we can actually go over there and arrest anyone we feel is involved with terrorism and in violation of our laws. So they don't have to be necessarily extradited by the European courts. We can actually charge these people, go to Europe, and arrest those people and bring them back. They're not under the jurisdiction of those countries. But in return for that, they gave up the ability, the protection every American has against being, of course, arrested by somebody in Europe. And so the European countries can come over here now. Now, there are laws in Europe against being critical of homosexuals or of quoting the Bible and saying homosexuality is wrong. That means that anybody, any police force in Europe could come to America and arrest me or you or anybody else who said that homosexuality was wrong because we were in violation of their rules, of their laws, and we would have no protection from the American courts. Now, if this indeed is true, why hasn't this been mentioned by the media? Well, of course, it hasn't been mentioned by the media because they don't want us to know, because these things are all being done in secret. And why are they being done in secret? Because the average American would be incensed if they realized what this is about. What you're describing there is we can actually then go to Europe to arrest these people. Is that right?
That's true, Dr. Stan.
But, of course, the people don't understand the corollary. And that's what this latest legislation, this latest treaty that has been signed by the administration without ever going through our Senate, but of course in these extraordinary times, we must give our administration additional power to protect us. But in this process, we have suddenly lost all of the protection of the American courts. Now, eventually this will come out. The American people will be told, but by then it may be too late.
And you're exactly right. It's that corollary that is the poison pill. All of this has been withheld from the American people for years. And to expand on that a little bit, these concepts that you're explaining of, you know, not being able to speak your conscience are embodied in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, which is the underlying junk science that supports Agenda 21, which is this program of implementing sustainable development. And hand in hand with that is your Earth Charter, which is the new one world religion that commits everyone to a new set of values that are defined by a global elite. And in that new set of values, man is no more important than the bugs and the trees. It's a whole different religion. The monotheistic God is not allowed. In fact, when you review the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, It says one of the things that is unsustainable and therefore will not be tolerated is thoughts which you know, we would find in the Ten Commandments, because as Gorbachev says, we are writing a new set of Ten Commandments to replace the original 10 or 15.
Now, really, I think it's so important people understand the defining terms. Number one, Agenda 21 is the secret agenda for the 21st century. That's what they know. They've written it all out. You have copies of it, and we have copies for the plan here for where we live. But there is a master plan made up. It's available, but very difficult to get because they don't want the people to know. And, of course, Gorbachev, the former dictator of Russia, working along with some of the wealthiest men in America, Stephen Rockefeller, heir to the Rockefeller billions and trillions of dollars, certainly Marie Strong, he's a piker, he's only got $3 or $4 billion of his own. Gorbachev has written the new Ten Commandments. And they openly say, this will replace the old Ten Commandments, and they put it in the Ark of Hope, the counterpart to the Ark of the Covenant. Everything is a mirror image of Christianity, but of course aimed at destroying Christianity, destroying our freedom, and creating this new world order and new world religion. Go ahead, John.
Well, and just to say that the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims are not sustainable, and that may explain some of the conflict and destruction we see going on in the world today. But anyway, the United States Patriot Act, you know, as we see these new laws that are designed to monitor and control people, they're going into effect at the same time that police agencies all around the world are coordinating their communication and their information sharing networks amongst themselves. So as you said, we now have this arrangement where Americans can be arrested overseas. And, you know, we've had this this cooperation between the United States and Britain for quite a few years now, which shows how easy it is to spy on our own people, and you have it, you know, twisted on us. But that is Project where our...
You're talking about Echelon?
Project Echelon,
right.
Where we have agreed to go to Britain and eavesdrop on their conversations, spy on their people, and they in turn are spying on our people, and then they exchange the information.
So they don't even have to do that now that they have this USA Patriot Act. They have the right to do that. They are making legal what they've been doing illegally for so many years, as they have been spying not on the terrorists and the mafia, but on the law-abiding American citizens. Of course, they were spying on the terrorists. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were monitoring all of Osama bin Laden's telephone calls. They knew exactly what he was doing and what al-Zawahiri was doing. In fact, if you read the testimony by Kristen Breitweiser, which is in my October newsletter, her testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on the 18th of September last year, you'll find out that the government knew about a cell phone conversation that took place between several of the terrorists. I guess they were trying to get reservations or something, but they'd called an airline trying to get reservations a week before the attack, and the government knew everything they said. How could they possibly know what these men had said on a cell phone conversation unless they were monitoring that conversation and they were monitoring these people before the attack? If they were monitoring before the attack, then why didn't they stop them from attacking?
If they are the ones who perpetrated it. Also under Title I of the Patriot Act, right at the very beginning, it's interesting that in Section 102 that there is a section condemning discrimination against Arab and Muslim Americans. And it points out that there's a concept in the United States that's sacrosanct, and it's that of individual responsibility for wrongdoing. And it calls upon our nation to recognize the patriotism of fellow citizens.
Now, go right ahead. We've got about 20
okay.
seconds.
Section 103 calls for increased funding for the Technical Support Center at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And this will fund technical support and tactical operations to the tune of $200 million per each fiscal year from 2002, 2003, and 2004. So the FBI is being strengthened as an internal and an external espionage agency. And of course, that's very interesting when we find out how many Federal Bureau of Investigation offices have been opened overseas. There are dozens and dozens.
We're going to have to just interrupt you right there for a moment, and we'll be right back in just a minute. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay. Let's see. There's another section that requests military assistance to enforce prohibition in certain emergencies. And this act is interesting because it amends so many United States codes, and it doesn't tell you exactly what they're amending, but to give you an idea of some of the other acts that are already on the books that are amended, there is the Effective Death Penalty Act of 1996. There is the International Emergency Powers Act. There is the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Domestic Powers Act. There is the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. There's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, commonly referred to as FISA, F-I-S-A. There are numerous executive orders that relate to the Patriot Act. They are executive orders 12333, 12947, 13224, 12978. There's the Trade Sanctions Reform and Export Enhancement Act of 2000. There's the Foreign Narcotics Kingpin Designation Act. There's the Arms Export Control Act, the Foreign Agents Registration Act of 1938, very important, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and the Controlled Substances Act. And that's only a partial listing of all of the legislation that is being changed by the United States Patriot Act. There's going to be an expansion, or there is now an expansion, of the National Electronic Crime Force Task Force Initiative to detect and investigate electronic crimes. I know the FBI has been very active with programs of computers and all kinds of electronic crimes, including infrastructure and financial payment systems. Well, financial payment systems, again, that's all of the banking. That's the money part of the world. And, of course, the globalization of the economy is the god, which is being catered to by everything that's going on, both internationally at the United Nations and with the laws that are being passed at our state, at our nation's capital. There's certain presidential authority that is designated under the United States Patriot Act, and it says that when the United States is engaged in armed hostilities, and of course that doesn't say a declaration of war, but any kind of armed hostilities, that the president can designate the confiscation of any property, and that would be any property that's subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, and of any foreign person or organization or country, and that all rights and title and interest of this property will vest in whatever agency or person that the president may designate. Doesn't that seem kind of extreme that the president can designate any person to vest another's property in? It's very dictatorial, and it also states that this will be upon whatever terms that the president shall prescribe.
Sounds sort of like Mugabe over there in Zimbabwe, where he's taking the farms from the whites and giving them to his sister and his other cronies. But could that really happen in America? Would they use favoritism to give property to others? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this evening is Joan Paris. We're talking about the USA Patriot Act, and we've been talking about some of the amazing provisions in this act that allow the president, at his discretion, to take private property and give it to whoever he wants to. It doesn't have to, it's his choice who will own the property. It could be your property for one reason or another, if they feel it needs to be taken in the name of course, a national security.
And so what's amazing is that it's not subject to due process. So we're losing due process if this is allowed to, well, I mean, it's enacted in law now. So that's the first major title. The second major title in the Patriot Act, Title II, deals with enhanced surveillance procedures. And there are a number of sections relating to surveillance. And it gives the government, of course, authority to intercept any wire, oral, or electronic communications relating to terrorism. And I think right at the outset, Dr. Stan, we have to talk about the definition of terrorism. When we talk about it, we think of what we read about in the newspaper. We think it's, people from Saudi Arabia or the Middle East.
But there's not one word about Islamic terrorism, is there, or Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. They define terrorism any way they want to, and of course that is what's so frightening. A little wonder they wouldn't allow the congressman to see this legislation, being that there was nothing to conceal. Then why did they conceal it? Why did they prevent a debate on this? I mean, what was the real agenda, and why did they use the horror of the loss of all those American lives to get this legislation through? Is there anybody who would use this legislation? Well, I don't know how many of you have heard, those of you heard last night when I did my interview with David Wagner, and he quoted Senator Gary Hart, ex-Senator Gary Hart, saying there is a chance the president may be able to use this disaster to create what his father referred to, and I think only on one occasion, that is a new world order. And Gary Hart, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, co-chairman of the National Commission on Security in the 21st Century, made up of 14 people, 13 of them coming from the Council on Foreign Relations, said the president may be able to use this disaster. Use this disaster. And of course, they are using this disaster, and that's the tragic part. And where is the outcry from the American people, from the church? Where is the outcry from our political leaders? About the only people who are speaking out are the ACLU, and, well, who wants to be associated with them?
Well, it is an abomination. And so, yes, there are people who are using this and have used this to further an agenda of a new world order. And the government now has the authority also to share the criminal investigation information with just about anyone without any liability. And that's why it's so important that we understand that the terrorism is not designated, because we have seen reports issued to government agencies where terrorists are defined as people who uphold and cite the Constitution. They've been cited as people that are fundamentalist Christians. They've been designated as people who are homeschoolers. These are not people that we would normally think of as terrorists, but we had better start thinking in those terms, because we have documents that have been put out by the government that identify those people as terrorists.
Well, you know, it was really so interesting and really frightening that down in the Texas, the legislature was meeting, and the Republicans have a majority, but not enough for a quorum without the Democrats there. And the Democrats left because they felt there was going to be some unfair legislation put through, and that's their right. They weren't going to show up in the legislature, and they actually got into a plane and a couple of planes, and they flew out of state. So they could block the misuse of power by the Republican legislature. And so what did the Republican legislature do? Why, they got the Office of Homeland Security to go after these Democrat legislatures. Now, what does this have to do with terrorism? Absolutely nothing. And, of course, when they were chided for doing this later on, why, of course, John Ashcroft said, well, I didn't see they did anything at all wrong. Why are they using, the federal government to take care of a domestic disagreement within the state? I think what you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that this legislation will be used to take away your freedom. And any person who's willing to give up any bit of their individual liberty for security against terrorism, may find out that they have neither liberty nor security. And the very terrorists that we fear most, may be working closely with those who are taking away our freedom. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we know that John Ashcroft has said, well, we're going to use this to go after any criminal we want to. I mean, we're going to be like Bobby Kennedy, who said, if anybody in the mafia spits on the sidewalk, I'm going to arrest him. I'm going to use every law there is to get the bad people. But, of course, who's going to determine who the bad people are? They're not going after the terrorists. They're going after criminals in this country. But if they're willing to go after criminals, would they go after those who are political dissenters as well? People said that couldn't happen here. Why couldn't it happen? If all we have, or we can rely on, is the ACLU, which is filled with communists, and I mean, some of what they say is absolutely true, and the good people in the ACLU. But the motivation of the ACLU has always been to create a communist society. It was established by a man named, by a gentleman who was a hardline Marxist and communist. They were behind the ACLU, and yet they're the only ones who are speaking out against this seizure of power. And of course, you have to understand they're funded by the same people who are in power now. And the Brotherhood of Darkness controls both the right and the left, the Democrats, the Republicans, the liberals, the conservatives. And where is the opposition? That's the problem we have. If you're out there in the listening audience, our guest this evening, Joan Parris, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Joan, go ahead, Joan.
Okay. One of the things that the Patriot Act authorizes is the sharing of grand jury information. Now, grand juries are traditionally a very secret process, but this pries right into the grand jury and opens it up for dissemination of the proceedings that go on there. There's certain conditions when it's allowed to be disclosed. If it's, you know, a request is made by an attorney for the government, and when it can disclose a violation of state criminal law to any official of a state or subdivision of a state for enforcing a law. And there is also the authority now to share electronic wire and oral interception information, and that is when any investigative or law enforcement officer or attorney for the government requests this, then the contents can be disclosed to them. And they just have to say that it's for protective or the immigration, the national defense, or the national security official. And what this act also enabled was the employment of translators by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And here we see, again, a changing of the laws, because the government was allowed to expedite the employment of personnel to act as translators to support the counterterrorism investigations and operations. And this was without regard to applicable federal personnel requirements and limitations. And also for security requirements established whatever security requirements were necessary for the personnel.
Well, now what's wrong with that, though? What's wrong with being able to hire personnel to, do a translation?
Well, because it makes an exception in due process or procedures without any regard to applicable federal personnel requirements. And so if they're going to do that, it should be, everyone should be subject to the same laws. So it's arbitrary. And when you institute arbitrary procedures, then you institute some chaos. And we're a government of laws and a nation of laws. And that's what makes us a constitutional republic.
Well, we used to be a constitutional republic, and we used to be a nation of laws. But it would appear now that they can do whatever they want to, and they can get legislation through without even letting our duly elected representatives see it. And of course, we have to understand that what happens now is we have a legislature in Washington, D.C. that is simply there to cover up for this power situation. And these legislators are either afraid to speak out, or in this instance, they weren't even allowed to look at the legislation as it was jammed through. This is not representative government. This is government by edict. And that, of course, is the end of our republic as we know it. And where is the outcry other than the ACLU?
Well, exactly, and that is the point, that this is totally arbitrary, and these are the laws that are now being enacted. So people need to be aware of what's contained in them if they are willing to rise up and do anything about it, because otherwise we're awfully far down the road to a dictatorship just like they had in Nazi Germany.
Of course, we shouldn't be surprised, as you've heard me many times, how after the Second World War, we brought the head of the Gestapo, Heinrich Müller, here. Any of you who have any questions, we have the book, A Gestapo Chief. It's the story of Heinrich Müller, the head of the wicked German Gestapo, who was brought to America and given a nice fat salary and then a pension and allowed to retire. And those of you who heard my interview with David Emery on Friday will remember, of course, he was pointing out that Müller, while he was here in the United States, was, of course, directing the Nazi movement throughout the world and retaliating against anyone, of course, who was trying to expose it. And this is in the immediately post-war period of the Second World War.
Well, along that line, this is the extent to which surveillance is being instituted in the USA Patriot Act. Your voicemail messages can be seized. And the way that is done is subpoenas for electronic records are given to your telephone company, and they can request the telephone records as well as the means that you use to pay for that service. So any credit card or bank account that was involved in paying for your telephone call, that is all subject to the scrutiny of the government now. And there's an Emergency Disclosure Act for electronic communications called supposedly to protect life and limb, and it provides for the phone service itself to voluntarily disclose your communications or your records if the provider has the feeling that there's an emergency involving immediate danger of death or serious physical injury, and so that if that information they feel is needed to be provided without delay, then they are authorized just to voluntarily provide that.
But I mean, who are they providing it to?
Any government or law enforcement?
Any government agency might. Okay.
Any law enforcement agent. And
Basically, then, what they're doing is saying that we can begin sort of spying on others, and if we think that there's some problem, that we should, of course, tell the government agents.
Right.
Because we're suspicious of somebody else. Sort of reminds me of the, we saw Saturday night the DVD of The Pianist, and this poor Jew is, of course, a Jewish fellow, is trying to hide in an apartment. He comes out, this woman, the next-door neighbor, runs up to him and says, "Where are your papers? Where are your papers? Why, you're a Jew?" And she yells, starts screaming, and to get everybody there, you know, people are watching people as they were in Hitler's Germany, as they are increasingly in America today.
Well, and you get brownie points for that. And this Patriot Act sets up that type of atmosphere, Dr. Stan. The only time that there's a delay for a notice of a warrant is when the government feels that it could jeopardize any other investigation or proceeding that's going on. The act authorizes a pen register and trap and trace authority under FISA, and that would be, again, phone taps, and it allows for access to records other than items under the Foreign Intelligence Service Act. And it requires the production of any tangible records, like books and records, any papers, any documents, and whatever, any other items. So again, open-ended.
So basically, we're doing away with the Fourth Amendment, the right to coming in and searching and seizing people's property. And of course, always in the name of fighting terrorism, but not one word here about Islamic terrorism.
Exactly.
It was never intended for fighting Islamic terrorism. Oh, we have to use that as the justification for the people. Because, of course, if they realized that we were giving up our freedom, we don't mind if they take away the terrorist freedom because they're bad guys, but, and people don't understand. There's not one word here that mentions Islamic terrorism at all.
Well, and the second part of the phrase here is not just international terrorism, but it says, or clandestine intelligence activities. What if you and I are having a conversation? What if you and I are sharing some journalistic information or sharing some document that I picked up at the United Nations? Is that clandestine intelligence activities? It could be construed and defined as that because this, again, is a very, very open-ended language in the text of this document. It jeopardizes each and every individual American citizen in this country.
But the people say it could never happen here. And I would ask, why couldn't it happen here? Not only from the point of view that there are wicked people in this country that have the same mentality as the Nazis did, but of course, I believe God is withdrawing his protection from America. And we will soon see the wrath of God carried out against our people as it was against the German people because they had betrayed God and the church had abandoned its moral position under Adolf Hitler. What's the moral position of the American church today? Why, it's the cheering section for everything going on in Washington, D.C. today.
Well, and let's connect some dots. You know, how does this affect us? I don't usually read the disclosures in my department store accounts, but I was reading one the other day, and with all of the changes in the banking laws, do you know, and this tracks exactly with the USA Patriot Act, that if I'm at the department store and I decide I want to make a payment on my bill, if I want to pay that in cash and it's $300, that's illegal. That has to be monitored and reported because that could be illegal funds. How do you trace cash? $300. I see lots of people at the grocery stores that have $100 bills. People from other countries, a lot of them carry $100 bills. So $300 to me is not a whole lot of money, but this is the degree to which it's reaching right down into our lives.
Remember, it's really started with anybody took out more than $10,000 from their bank account in a year, it had to be reported, and then it was anybody who took out $10,000 in multiple increments during the year, and then $5,000, and now, of course, $300. They call this creep. But, of course, the real thing is they want to monitor everything you're doing. Oh, well, we've got to get back at those wicked drug smugglers. But actually, the biggest drug smuggler in America is the CIA. And if you doubt that, you need to get some of the books we have on it or get the material on Gary Webb or even read the Inspector General's report, the CIA Inspector General's report. It's up on to the Wilderness website. That's To the Wilderness. That's Michael Rupert's website, where he actually reproduces the CIA Inspector General's reports going into the fact the CIA knew about its agents that were involved in drug smuggling. So, but anyway, we've got to regulate the American people to control those wicked drug smugglers. But, of course, the government's the biggest drug smuggler in the country, and nobody has the courage to stand up against the CIA, not the president, not the vice president, not the Congress, not the Senate.
And the Congressional Oversight Committee that's established has to report to the Attorney General on a semiannual basis and fully inform the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. And the House of Representatives has one of these committees, and the Senate has one of these committees, and the Judiciary has one of these select committees on intelligence. And I hate to think of who the intelligent members of those committees are that are divulged and charged with all of the security of our nation. Then, let's see, there's a modification that relates to the use of all of these monitoring devices. And the monitoring will go on as long as it's relevant to any ongoing criminal investigations. And the extent that this information has to be maintained is they keep a record of whatever officers installed the device and who accessed it and obtained information from the network. There's a very high degree of monitoring and control. Also, the date and the time the device was uninstalled and the date and the time and the duration of every time a device is accessed to obtain information.
Now, where are they putting this? Are they putting this on our telephone, on our email, on our faxes? And
yes.
Where are they putting it?
Yes,
and do
yes,
they have
yes.
to get a warrant to do this?
I don't know. I don't think so. They can just...
In the name of fighting terrorism, of course, the wicked Osama bin Laden. But gee, we can't find Osama bin Laden. Is that because he used to work for the CIA and some people think he still does? Just like we can't find the wicked Saddam Hussein. We know he worked for the CIA in the 1950s, and if you'd like copies of the pages of the book and Holy Babylon written a decade ago about CIA contacts and the assassination team, CIA assassination team that Saddam Hussein belonged to, and there's no question that the CIA backed him all during his war with Iran during the 1980s. And maybe, do you think that might be why we had such an easy time moving our troops into Baghdad? Of course, it's like sort of getting into quicksand once you get there. Could that possibly be why we just can't find the wicked Saddam Hussein today?
Well, and, you know, the Act defines a court of competent jurisdiction, and it's any district court of the United States, including a magistrate judge of a court. Now, wasn't it a magistrate judge that the Clintons got to abuse the rights of little Elian Gonzalez?
I really don't remember that, but I do know that the Bush administration did nothing at all to try to counteract what the Clinton administration did in the violation of the law, and sending 140 armed, heavily armed people down to get this one little boy from an unarmed family in Florida. And then, of course, giving them combat pay and rewards because they managed to terrorize this family. And, of course, send Elian back to a life of slavery in communist Cuba. But, of course, nothing was ever done. The Bush administration said, oh, let's leave that all behind us. Let's move forward. Well, I believe, you know, if they're really concerned about terrorism, maybe they ought to be concerned about Janet Reno.
Good point. And then this act talks about trade sanctions, and this is so interesting because it talks about reforming the Trade Sanctions Reform and Export Enhancement Act of 2000, and it adds a reference to the facilities that design, develop, or produce a chemical or biological weapons and missiles and weapons of mass destruction, and it also adds to that Trade Sanctions Reform Act, very interestingly, not just the Taliban or the territory of Afghanistan, but it also inserts a reference to any entity in Syria or North Korea.
It states Syria and North Korea?
Yes. And so these countries are designated, and this is so interesting because, you know, we hear about the other countries that supposedly we may be going after, and this is embodied right in the USA Patriot Act that there's a special reference to Syria and North Korea.
Isn't that interesting, especially since George Herbert Walker Bush had given the Syrian government $1 billion during the first Gulf War, and of course, subsequently, the Clinton administration has given hundreds of millions of dollars in food supplies and free oil to North Korea if they promise not to, of course, build any new nuclear bombs, stop their nuclear bomb research. And yet, of course, we know they were doing it all the time. So basically, we've subsidized both of these enemies, creating the best enemies money can buy.
Mm-hmm. And we can apply trade sanctions for any unlawful export of any agricultural commodities or medicine, medical devices to any foreign organization, group, or person, or a foreign terrorist organization, or any narcotics trafficking entity, or any other group of persons involved in weapons of mass destruction.
This is to countries as such?
Yes.
But, I mean, after all, all the poppy fields are now back in full production in Afghanistan. Now that we toppled the Taliban, who had actually stopped the poppy production. But now, of course, that we've got rid of the Taliban, why, of course, there's plenty of opium that's going to come from Afghanistan. Ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, we did away with the Taliban, who were controlling the drugs, and of course, they were quite willing to send Osama bin Laden to a third country to be tried or to send him out of the country. We didn't want that. We wanted to go in. We wanted to destroy the Taliban, who we had financed right up until that time. And now, of course, the Northern Alliance, the communists are in control there. And don't think for one minute the Northern Alliance isn't communist, because it is. It's always been. And now, of course, the poppy fields are blooming again. Don't we feel good? But why aren't we doing anything about that? Why aren't we putting sanctions on them? Oh, that's because our people, Karzai, who used to work for UNICAL, is in control there.
Now, somebody might tell you that, there are protections under this act, and in Section 223, it refers to civil liability for any or for certain unauthorized disclosures. And it says that if any person is aggrieved by a willful violation of this chapter or the FISA, the court may assess damages, actual damages and litigation costs that are reasonably incurred. But can you imagine trying to collect from the federal government? It says that any action under this section shall be tried to the court without a jury. So you have to trust the government to do this without a jury, and there's exclusive remedy, and it'll be against the United States for any claims within the purview of this section, but there's also a stay of proceedings. So upon a motion of the United States, if the court decides that a civil discovery would adversely affect the ability of the government to conduct any other related investigation that's going on, or the prosecution of a related criminal case, then they can just, stay your case, stay your proceeding. And
I feel so much better knowing that that's in there.
Oh, I thought I should bring that out. So.
If you have a question now up in Washington you'd like to ask Joan anything, we've only got about 8 more minutes before we have to bid you adieu now. Joan will be with us for the next hour, but for our listeners in Washington, if you have any questions about the USA Patriot Act, this is a beautiful, beautiful summary of it. And you need to understand that the USA Patriot Act has nothing to do with patriotism. It has everything to do with trashing the Bill of Rights.
Exactly.
In the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who we just can't seem to find.
And then after saying that you've got this civil liability, it goes on to say that there's an immunity for the government for any compliance with the FISA wiretap, and not just the government, but any public entity that provides communications services. And then it goes on to discuss in Title III of the Act, the International Money Laundering Abatement and Anti-Terrorism Financing Act of 2001. And this is a very important section of the Patriot Act, Dr. Stan, because it quotes the International Monetary Fund assessment of how much money is lost in the global domestic product. And it says it's between 2% and 5% of the global economy is lost to money laundering, which amounts to $600 billion per year. And it says that this provides the fuel that permits transnational criminal enterprises to conduct and expand their operations, to the detriment of the safety and security of American citizens. Well, first of all, define a criminal enterprise for me. And yes, there are the obvious, but again, we go back to what does the IMF and United Nations, the World Bank, who do they consider the criminals? It talks about money laundering and defects in financial transparency. And again, I go back to my department store bill. We're remedying through the Patriot Act defects in financial transparency by cracking down on you, the consumer. If you try to pay your department store bill in cash, then you just have deprived the government and any regulatory agency or investigatory body of the ability to view exactly where your funds are coming from. And let's give have another personal example. Yesterday I was balancing my checking account and I had failed to record one ATM transaction. And so I called my bank and I said, on such and such a date, I wrote a check at the grocery store and I need to know how much it was. And the girl said, well, it was $74. And I said, oh, I was thinking maybe I spent about $24. And she said, oh, well, you got $60 cash back. She had all of this information. This is how we're defining financial transparency. They can tell you what I bought at the grocery store and how much I spent for my groceries and how much was cash back. So we are going a long way with banking and financial transparency into our personal lives so that we can be totally and fully controlled.
In fact, those of you who heard our interviews with Catherine Albrecht, who is a doctoral candidate at Harvard University, pointing out how when you have your little grocery card and you get a special discount because you use your grocery card, because actually they double the price and then cut it not quite in half, so you end up still paying more, and they need that little extra profit, of course, to keep all the records on you, and they're compiling everything you buy. Isn't that interesting? And of course, they do that with your whenever you use a credit card. All of this is being monitored, so the government will know everything about you. They're even have now, and Walmart and many of the major chains are going to be putting them in little filaments like a thread into your everything you buy, like a pair of trousers or a pair of shoes or a Michelin tire or your clothing. Of course, that they can track this. And you won't even have to go through a turnstile when you go out. You just walk out the door. They know everything you bought. And then, of course, you walk down the street. They'll know because they'll be able, of course, to say, oh, that's a Joan Paris because we've got a thread from this blouse that she's wearing, and it's compiled with her. They have computers that'll do over 3 trillion actions per second. They can monitor everything in the world every second of the day.
It's frightening.
Well, we've developed all this because of the wicked communists, or maybe because of the wicked terrorists, or maybe this is something much larger. This is all part of the move towards the cashless society that, of course, is predicted in Revelations 13. And what most people forget is that behind everything going on from a geopolitical point of view today is a spiritual agenda, and the spiritual agenda of the prince of this world.
That's so true. And as you say, the language in this act, it's all couched in the horrible criminals and the terrorists. And there's some editorializing here in one of the sections where it talks about the threatening the safety of United States citizens, how it's undermined the integrity of our financial institutions and the global financial and trading systems upon which prosperity and growth depend.
That this means really the central bankers who are plotting to create a feudalistic system. That's page 324 of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, a world feudalistic system under their control. That, of course, what they're really worried about.
That's what this is all about, the global financial and trading system. And they editorialize, they use this Patriot Act to editorialize upon that. So that's really for whom this is all designed. And, of course, the Patriot Act cracks down on any offshore banking and any facilities that would provide tools to disguise ownership of assets and any movement of what they call criminal funds. So anything that has to do with confidentiality, Dr. Stan, or privacy, it's couched in terms of being a criminal. So you have to think about it. Brainwashing us to think that if there's not this transparency or complete divulgence of all of our private financial matters, then you are a criminal.
Well, of course, if you have nothing to hide, why would you want to hide it? But, of course, maybe because you don't trust the people in government. You don't trust the CIA that hires assassins to kill people. And as you know, we've actually interviewed several of their assassins, and we'll talk more about that. Well, we're out of time. We're going to have to let our listeners in the Great Northwest go. We, of course, ask you to pray for America. We ask you to think seriously about joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you. Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality will usually be scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we'll take your calls at any time. Our special guest this evening is Joan Paris, and of course she's talking about the USA Patriot Act, which of course has nothing to do with patriotism, although they had to sell this to the American people. Oh, it's patriotic. I mean, who'd want to vote against patriotism? Sort of like the Medical Privacy Act they passed out back in 1996. Actually, its purpose was to do away with medical privacy. It was great. And, of course, people, said, well, gee, medical privacy, we're all in favor of that. But it was just the opposite. And the USA Patriot Act is one of the most unpatriotic pieces of legislation ever enacted. So with that as a background, Joan, let's go ahead.
Okay. Well, some more of the findings and purposes of this USA Patriot Act that have to do with international money laundering, it says that there's a problem because we're hiding the identities of real parties. It says that private banking can be susceptible to manipulation by money launderers, and they give it as an example, corrupt foreign government officials, and especially if those services include offshore accounts and they facilitate the transfer of large personal fund amounts and in putting those in accounts around the world. And it says that the United States' anti-money laundering efforts are impeded and outmoded by inadequate statutory provisions that make investigations and prosecution and forfeitures more difficult. So this is what the act is aimed at changing, is to make it a lot more easy for the government to investigate you and to prosecute and get the forfeiture of assets. The act says that it will mount effective countermeasures that require national as well as bilateral and multilateral action using tools that are specially designed for that effort. So here you have transnational cooperation, and this is talking about our relationship with the international community through such organizations as the United Nations. United Nations, of course, is the largest multilateral transnational organization. And it also points out that the United States is a member of the Basel Committee on Banking Regulations and Supervisory Practices. And it's a lot of technical information. It's dry, but yeah, really, Dr. Stan wanted to give the listeners just a very accurate depiction of what's in the act without editorializing too much. But here you have this international group, the Basel Committee, And also, there's a Financial Action Task Force on Money Laundering, of which the United States is a member. And each of these groups have adopted international anti-money laundering principles and recommendations, and that, of course, is because, as we've just been discussing, that it's the globalization of the economy that's the almighty God that's driving this engine towards globalization and forcing our nation's laws and practices into conformity with an international norm. And that's why the USA Patriot Act dictates that we are required to cooperate with the international community through these multilateral organizations such as the United Nations.
So we've really got to then protect the international financiers and the central bankers and the phony money system that they've set up, which gives them control over the governments of this world. Now, for people to understand that, you need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, and read pages 324 and 325. When you do that, you'll see everything that that Joan is talking about. As they talk about how the central bankers have secret meetings at which they plot and how they're able to control their governments, their own governments. And, of course, their ultimate goal is a feudalistic system under their control. I quote that in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you don't have it, you need to get it. It'll give you so much insight into what we're talking about. And now, as this whole thing begins to come together, as we move into the final stage of the consolidation of world power, as we move towards the new world order, the new world religion, and we begin to see how they're beginning to utilize laws so that no one will escape.
That's exactly what this is all about. And one of the purposes delineated in the Patriot Act is that there will be clear national mandates for subjecting to special scrutiny those foreign jurisdictions, financial institutions operating outside of the United States, and classes of international transactions or types of accounts that pose particular identifiable opportunities for criminal abuse. And again, the definition of criminal is subject to interpretation. The purpose is to provide the Secretary of the Treasury with broad discretion to take measures tailored to the particular money laundering problems. And again, money laundering is you going to your department store with $300 or more in cash to pay your bill. That could be construed as money laundering, because how do we trace that cash? The purpose is to administer geographic targeting orders. It is also to ensure that all appropriate elements of the financial services industry are subject to the appropriate requirements for reporting potential money laundering transactions to the proper authorities, and that any jurisdictional disputes do not hinder examination of compliance. And, you know, getting around those jurisdictional disputes is something that was called for in the Brahimi Report. And when I was at the United States Conference of Mayors a few weeks ago, I noticed that in their Homeland Defense report that they were all calling for a central reporting agency at the apex of the federal government or of every nation around the world through which to put all of these reporting and whatever emergency services there are under one central arm. And so we see that coming through with the financial also. And when we talk about financial services, there are we're talking about your insurance also, because when the Glass-Steagall Act was removed, that made the insurance service industry a part of the financial services industry. So all of anything that has to do with financial transactions, it's all being brought under one umbrella. And the new legislation is the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act that puts all of that together. And, of course, another purpose of the Patriot Act is to strengthen the ability of financial institutions to maintain, it's called the integrity of their employee population. And, of course, that would be some surveillance and control of their employees. And also to strengthen measures to prevent the use of the United States financial system for any personal gain by any corrupt foreign officials or and to allow the repatriation of any stolen assets. And this all comes under a four-year congressional review. The first day of fiscal year 2005, all of the provisions of this title will terminate if the Congress enacts a joint resolution. So I don't think we're going to see this going away. I can't imagine Congress coming together to enact a joint resolution to do away with some of the provisions of this in 2005.
Now, of course, that's a sunset provision. In other words, it gives Congress the ability to make it go away, but you can be sure that the fascists who want this legislation will not allow it to be done away with, because it never had anything to do with terrorism. It always had to do with expanding government control over all of our lives. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And the fascist element in our society hates the Bill of Rights. It hates the Constitution. It hates anything that limits the power of the ruling elite over the lives of the people, because they believe that some people are born to rule. We should have ruling families, and of course we should have a ruling elite. And in essence, that's what we have today. Did you ever stop and think that, of course, President George Herbert Walker Bush was the director of the CIA for many years, or at least he was the director of the CIA for a time. He was a member of the Skull and Bones Secret Society, a member of the board of directors of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is an outgrowth of Cecil Rhodes Secret Society, a member of the Trilateral Commission, attended the Bilderberger meetings. And of course, this man today is his son, is the President of the United States. Now, George Herbert Walker Bush controlled the White House for 12 years. He controlled the Bush administration completely. Ronald Reagan didn't want him as the vice president, but he was told in no uncertain terms by Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford that if he wanted to be president, George Bush would be his vice president. And so he acceded to that. And then, of course, after he was out of office, George Bush became the president. Bill Clinton was put in office for a few years. And now, of course, we have the son who will be in office probably for 8 years. What you're seeing is a ruling family. And, of course, behind that ruling family are the occult pagan organizations like Skull and Bones, which a grandfather, Prescott Bush, belonged to, George Herbert Walker Bush. And I would feel so much better if George W. Bush would renounce that organization. As a born-again Christian, he would say, I want nothing to do with this. I renounce this publicly. Instead of that, he surrounds himself with people from the Skull and Bones and puts them into key positions in administration, as well as a number of other homosexuals in key positions and a pro-death or a pro-choice people. And we have to ask ourselves, why would he do this sort of thing?
Well, and buried deep, deep within this Patriot Act, now we come to the, in general, the special measures that the Secretary of Treasury shall do. And that is that the Treasury Secretary shall consult with the Chairman of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System.
That's the privately owned central bank that runs America.
Exactly. And any other appropriate federal banking agency defined in the Federal Deposit Insurance Act.
What does this have to do with the USA Patriot Act?
Well, this is what it's all about. But our legislators did not read this. They were not allowed to read it. And the American people don't have a clue, because all they hear is USA Patriot. It must be patriotic. It has nothing to do with patriotism, and it has everything to do with controlling us financially, our freedoms, and empowering this private banking elite group, the board of the Federal Reserve System. And these are our international bankers, our central bankers. It's a private money system, and it controls and enslaves the American people. And these are the ones in whom the Secretary of Treasury of our government must take direction with all of the financial matters and banking matters of this country. And then they will consult with the Secretary of State, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Commodities Future Trading Commission, the Commodity Futures, and then the National Credit Union Administration Board. So, you know, if you think you can get away from any of this and any financial means, there is no way, because everything that has to do with your assets and your resources is controlled by this USA Patriot Act. And it will be in the sole discretion of the Secretary. And when they refer to Secretary, it's Secretary of Treasury and whatever other agencies and interested parties as the Secretary may find to be appropriate. Anybody. So here you have that, this broad, open-ended verbiage again that allows the Secretary to bring forth any agency or any interested party that this cartel wants involved in our financial affairs. And then again, it refers to multilateral groups, and it talks about the impact on the international payment, clearance, and settlement systems. And this, of course, again, is to protect and insulate and promote the globalization of the economy. And let's see.
Now, does it specify that this is to facilitate the globalization of the economy, or is that your assumption?
No, this is just what's obvious to me, because when you are relying on the Board of Governors for the Federal Reserve System, and you know, these are private bankers that are dictating our banking and all of our financial policy. And then the Act says that it will consider the multilateral groups and the impact on our international payments, clearance, and settlements. That is, in sum and substance, the global economy.
And so this is all in the USA Patriot Act. Little wonder they didn't want the congressman reading this and understanding what it's about. Remember our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest this evening, Joan Parris. We're talking about the USA Patriot Act, which we were told was going to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden. And, of course, it seems like it's intent upon protecting the central bankers who control the world.
Well, that's only the first 80 pages, Dr. Stan. And then some of the other main concerns have to do with the extent to which jurisdiction is characterized as offshore banking or secrecy haven by credible international organizations or multilateral expert groups. This is very interesting, because the multilateral expert groups are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and of course, to be an NGO, you must be accredited by the United Nations. So again, here you have other multilateral groups that have nothing to do with our country making decisions as to what should be determined as proper financial procedures.
All right, and in other words, they will influence proper financial procedures in America?
Exactly.
NGOs from other countries? What madness is this?
Well, it's just part of the globalization and bringing us under this new world order. And the NGOs have been designated as the civil society portion of it. Of course, you cannot be a member of the civil society unless you subscribe to the mission of the United Nations and are sanctioned by them.
Yes, maybe that's why Senator Gary Hart said there is a chance the president of the United States can use this disaster to create what I think what his father talked about only once, and that is a new world order.
Another jurisdictional factor in consultations to be considered is whether the United States has a mutual legal assistance treaty with a jurisdiction, and the experience of United States law enforcement officials in obtaining information. there are some definitions of the banks. It refers to payable through accounts and institutions other than banks. And the institutions other than banks, again, is defined in the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act. And, you know, I work for a large insurance company, and for several years now, my company has had a whole new department, and it's a compliance office. And there are compliance officers employed by my insurance company, and we have annual meetings where we have to go through all of the compliance laws, just as they are referred to in the United States Patriot Act, to make sure that we understand money laundering, so that if somebody comes to me with cash to purchase an insurance product, that I can report that person as a possible terrorist or someone who's in violation of the money laundering laws. So it's the consumer that's footing the bill for all of this monitoring, policing, and control. And when we go to these annual meetings, you have to sign an affidavit and sit for a certain amount of time. But these are the types of agencies that are being implemented inside of corporate America that the average person probably is not even aware of.
And of course, I think that there are people in certain corporations who are part of this whole globalist movement who have a different vision of the world, who dream a different dream and certainly worship a different God. Let's go to Ken, who's calling us from Calabasas. Hi, Ken, where is Calabasas?
That's L.A. County.
Okay, fine. Good to have you with us. You're listening to us on the Internet?
Internet, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Just punched my calculator. Minimum wage is what, around $6 an hour?
Somewhere there.
So basically, anybody who gets paid every other week, if they go into the bank and cash the check instead of put it into a checking account, is considered a terrorist.
Well, it could be. If you go to your department store and decide to pay $300 or more in cash on your bill, then that's subject to being reported.
And, of course, the thing is that they want dossiers on every individual. And it's so easy to keep now that they have these computers. I mean, this whole thing is like a living nightmare, but most people have no idea what's going on. I bet you've never understood what this USA Patriot Act was about before, did you?
And just to clarify, you are talking about Patriot Act 1, not Patriot Act 2.
Patriot Act 1, yes.
Right.
Well, we haven't even gotten to 2. We'll have to do that.
It could get worse, Ken.
I'd heard from Dr. Stan and other talk shows that Patriot Act 2 was just living hell, but I had no idea we had this already in law.
That's why I'm doing the boring job of just going through this section by section, because I want people to be aware, rather than, you know, just giving examples or editorializing. I want people to be exactly aware of what's in the Patriot Act. It's amazing.
And you can actually pull it down off the Internet, and then you ought to get these tapes and just go through point by point what Joan's talking about, because she spent a lot of time studying this.
Rodney Stitch pointed out in Defrauding America that when the BCCI Cayman Island Bank went belly up and they found all the criminal money in there, that it just so happened that George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton both had personal checking accounts there.
I don't know that to be a case, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. You know, that was known as the BCCI, that was the banks of congressmen and criminals.
Yeah. And well, it's just Rodney Stitch stated that point blank in his book. So I mean, it's in print.
Well, he's probably right, because Rodney puts in a lot of effort to be absolutely right. But this was really a front for the CIA, that nobody wants to talk about it. But that's what this was. But then, of course, the CIA has all sorts of front banks. The CIA has literally hundreds of billions of dollars that are off budget that come from black operations.
But if politicians like that can open offshore accounts and it's no big deal, why can't little guys?
Because they're big guys and you're a little guy.
Yeah.
They're part of the ruling elite and you're just a common serf. That's what it's all about. And it's about time we let the rest of America understand this. And that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and I'm so glad to know you're listening down there.
Yep.
Thank you for calling, Ken.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Okay, thanks so much. Let's go to our... I bet this is Jeannie from Aptos. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Well, Joan,
hi.
Now that I'm totally disgusted with the whole mess, I think we ought to bring the politicians home from Washington, D.C., and let them work for a living. a good, honest living.
Wouldn't it be nice if they could just stay there for about 3 weeks out of the year, and you know, and then especially the time they'd have to do something that would be worthwhile. And as I'm always, you know, there's a lot of talk, Jeannie, today about what would happen if there was an attack on America and most of Congress was removed, and we've got to have this idea of a continuity of government, and so we've got to have, and they're trying to get to a constitutional amendment which will allow the governors of the individual states to elect, to nominate or put into office our congressmen so we can have continuity of government. And, of course, Lloyd Cutler, who was discussing this, and he's in charge of the CFR committee to bring this in, said, you know, there's some people who think that we might be better off if Congress were disbanded, and then he certainly made light of that. Well, I would suggest that I don't want to disband Congress, but I'd sure like to limit their time in Washington, D.C., for, as Congressman Ron Paul said, why the day that the Democrats and the Republicans do most for the people of this country is the day of the Democrat-Republican baseball game. Or, of course, as Will Rogers had said, no man's purse or property are safe when Congress is in session. So let's limit their amount of money. Let's, of course, let them be congressmen, but let them be answerable to the people rather than to the people with the money.
You know, that's interesting about that, what they're trying to pass regarding if the Congress was somehow, there was a nuclear strike and a lot of them were taken out or killed. And we've talked about it at the five-part series of the serial America with a K, and that's exactly what happened towards the end of that serial, where there were terrorists that came into the Washington, D.C., and killed all the Congress, and that's what happened. Now, there's something I saw on TV. It was on the Lou Dobbs Money Hour, and who he was interviewing was Peter Peterson. You were talking about the Federal Reserve. Well, Pete Peterson is the head of the Federal Reserve in New York, and he said, now these senior citizens, they're going to have to work longer because we're running out of money. He says the trust fund, he actually said it on TV.
How recently was this?
This was Thursday night, and I have a video for you.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I'll give it to you tomorrow.
For many years was the head of the Council on Foreign Relations, certainly one of the key figures working behind the scenes in our invisible government.
And he says, there's no trust in the trust fund, and there's no funds. He actually said it on the TV.
You mean they've been lying to us all this time?
Yes.
And of course, he's basically saying, what I've always said, look, we can make Social Security work any time, Social Security and Medicare. It would be very simple. We just won't make people eligible until they're 83.
So he's saying that he wants to start Social Security right now at 62, but kind of jack it up over the next 5 to 10 years. It'll be 67, and they're looking at least 70 years of age. He says the senior citizens have to get used to working more and working longer. And I thought, if there's going to be a revolution, it's going to be by the senior citizens.
Well, the thing is that, of course, I don't think anybody's entitled to anything from the federal government. And, of course, it's about time that people begin to understand there is no Medicare fund, there is no Social Security fund. It's all been spent, and what is in its place? Why, IOUs from the government that doesn't have any money.
That's right.
And it's about time that the American people understood. They've been lied to and lied to and lied to. And, of course, right now the people on Social Security and Medicare are spending their grandchildren's inheritance, and their grandchildren are going to inherit ashes.
Joan, I appreciate you going through this Patriot Act, because I know going through papers and research, it is boring. But then you come across one sentence, and it really perks you up and saying, oh, this is how it's going to happen.
Well,
so I appreciate your time on it.
Thank you, Jeannie. And it's like you say, that's why we have provisions in this act that allow for very dictatorial powers from the president that can prescribe the terms of confiscation of property and who that property can be designated to. It's just unprecedented in our laws that we have these kind of provisions, and they are embodied in the USA Patriot Act.
Listening to you tonight, it was very revealing, and it got my dander up being in New England. That's in New England.
Well, there's more in here.
I'll be listening.
Okay, thanks so much. Yeah, bye. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Well, anyway, the Patriot Act talks about cooperative efforts to deter money laundering, and it talks about a cooperation that there has to be between financial institutions and all regulatory authorities and law enforcement authorities, and there have to be regulations that encourages this sharing of information between law enforcement and banks, and just to provide evidence on anybody that could be engaging in terrorism or possible money laundering. And what this ends up doing is your money and your ability to support yourself in any type of commerce are now going to be controlled and regulated by law enforcement agencies and authorities. And they're often referred to, even in this document, you'll find the word regime.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, I'm glad they're not referred to as communes or commissars. We'll be back shortly. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Media Liberty, and of course our special guest this evening is Joan Paris, and we're talking about the USA Patriot Act, and of course there's talk about something, truth in advertising. There's nothing patriotic about this. It's sort of like the Tax Simplification Act of 1986. What was its purpose? Why, its purpose was, of course, to make it much more complicated to fill out your forms. And everybody thought it was going to be great. We were going to get more money. It was the biggest tax increase in all recorded history. But, of course, how many people really know that? Well, there's so many other things that we can talk about. Certainly the USA Patriot Act has nothing to do with patriotism. Go ahead, Joan. Let's continue this. And if you're out there in the listening audience, why, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'd like to get your thoughts on this. Joan's put in a lot of work so that you can begin to get some insight into what this is really all about.
Well, and something that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Stan, we come to this section of the USA Patriot Act that talks about cooperation and information sharing procedures, and it talks about the relationship between international narcotics traffickers and foreign terrorist organizations. And when I read that, I thought, well, what about the NSA and the CIA that we know have been involved with drug trafficking? So who's being protected by this, and who's, you know, not being protected by the USA Patriot Act? And there's, again, this cooperation among financial institutions, sharing information with one another. The banks are required to share information regarding individuals, entities, organizations, and countries suspected of any possible terrorist or money laundering activities. And the interesting thing is that they shall not be liable to any person under any law or regulation of the United States, any constitution, law, or regulation, or any agreement, including an arbitration agreement, for disclosing any information.
In other words, you can't tell your bank, I don't want you disclosing these things on me?
That's absolutely correct. They are required by law to do that, and they are held harmless for doing so. So in other words, they cannot be sued for disclosing or failing to disclose any information or incorrect information. They're, you know, if it's a mistake that's made in your information, then so be it. They cannot be sued for that.
Basically, this is so they have nothing to fear when they turn you in. The one thing, of course, that they should be feared, that you're going to take their money, your money, out of their bank.
Well, right. And one of the things that's considered in the USA Patriot Act, Dr. Stan, is, you know, these financial institutions can be prosecuted for harboring any money launderers. So the wording is set up in such a way that it encourages them to report somebody and to make an example out of somebody so that they look like they are aggressive in pursuing terrorism. So I think we're fostering a whole system of reporting on people just so that they can look good in the eyes of the almighty government and the regulators. There's some other things that are added to the money laundering crimes, and it's bribery of public officials, misappropriation of public funds, and smuggling, and any export control violations. So if there's an item that's controlled on the United States munitions list, then that can be prosecuted under the Patriot Act. It's also an offense with respect to which the United States, or if there's an offense that the United States is obligated under a multilateral treaty, then we have to adhere to that, and that's really huge. These multilateral agreements that we get involved in now, we're being held to. We could end up in the International Criminal Court on some of these things.
Now, wait a minute. Does this say that the individual or that the government will have to go along with these international treaties?
Well, the government will have to go along.
Now, of course, you remember the article that appeared in Foreign Affairs magazine in April of 1974 by Richard Gardner, who talked about how we were going to have to do an end run around the Constitution, you know, and would have to, because, you know, these people have wrote the Constitution that limited their ability, and so you have to get people into things like the Law of the Sea Treaty and, of course, GATT and other World Trade Organization. This was planned way back then, so they could take us into this world government, do away with the Constitution, and yet, of course, never let the American people understand what they were really about. And you remember, of course, that Richard Gardner was appointed by Bill Clinton to become our ambassador. I've forgotten where it was, Spain, something like that. Richard Gardner is, of course, a Rhodes Scholar, part of this little group of people, the elite people, who, of course, will lead the New World Order, the New World Religion.
Well, thank you for making that connection, Dr. Stan, because all throughout this document, it is it's obligating us to these multilateral treaties. And
This is all in the USA Patriot Act to protect us from the wicked Osama bin Laden?
Yes. let's see, and it talks about, unlawful importation of firearms. And when I read that, I wondered what happened to those cases of rifles that were shipped here via Costco, the Chinese Ocean Shipping Company.
All right, let's go to Nathan calling from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan, how are you doing?
Hi, my ear suddenly jumped when you mentioned Richard Gardner. Correct me if I'm wrong, you might understand that he is involved in this?
No. I was simply used him as an example. But when Joan was talking about how we would have to go along with all these international treaties, and this is part of the USA Patriot Act, and then I simply pointed out that he wrote an article in Foreign Affairs magazine in April of 1974. We talked about how we were going to have to do an end run around the Constitution because, of course, the founding fathers had put all these restrictions in. And so basically we would then take America into this new world order by applying, joining the Treaty on the Sea, international treaty on the rights of the sea, and of course the GATT and World Trade Organization, get us all involved in these international organizations, and by so doing then you could erode the sovereignty and the rights of the average individual. And of course in this USA Patriot Act, Joan is pointing out that although most people think this has to do with patriotism or the wicked Osama bin Laden, it's talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, Joan, but how now we've got to go along with all these international treaties. What does that have to do with the war on terrorism? It's got nothing to do with the war on terrorism. It's got nothing to do with patriotism. It is the most unpatriotic concept, because what they're doing is talking about doing away with our sovereignty. But this is what Richard Gardner had suggested in his article in Foreign Affairs magazine in April of 1974.
Well, it's interesting you should mention him, though, because running very parallel to his line of thought, in fact, running very parallel to the Council on Foreign Relations, is another organization called the Trilateral Commission, which is more global. It's actually, I believe it's far more elite than the Council on Foreign Relations. And I'm holding in my hand right here something called The Crisis of Democracy by Michel Crozier, Samuel P. Huntington, and Joji Watanuki. And it's a report on the governability of democracies to the Trilateral Commission.
That's ancient history.
No, it's not. It's modern history, because it was published in 1973.
But it's exactly what's going on today.
It's exactly what's going on today. They talked to, let me tell your audience, in case people out there don't know. I know your guest knows, but this discusses the censorship of television. It discusses making societies more governable, and it discusses the concept of strengthening the powers of government at the expense of ordinary citizens. And you can get a copy of it, The Crisis of Democracy. And the whole concept is that in the 1960s and 70s, when people formed citizen groups and people pursued causes of repairing society and social justice, that democracy became ungovernable, that there was too much democracy. And that what the elite needed to do, and this is stated in their own words, what the elite needed to do was to clamp down on that, to create repressive new laws and to basically marginalize whole groups of people who might be considered a threat. This is real. It's not made up. It's not conspiracy stuff. This is real. It's actually published by New York University Press, and it was commissioned by the Trilateral Commission. And if you don't believe Dr. Stan, you should. At least, we have a few issues we might disagree on, but a wide variety of people need to get together, and if there is any hope of stopping it, stop it. But meanwhile, get it. Crisis of Democracy. And if your guest hasn't read it, she should too.
Well, we
have a copy around here someplace. We maybe need to get you to come over and go through the library and see if you can find it. But I'm so glad you mentioned Samuel Huntington, because he wrote a treatise on this, I believe it was called The Clash of Civilizations, talking about how, of course, Western civilization was going to clash with the Muslim civilization. And he wrote about this. He wrote a book on it. He wrote articles for Foreign Affairs magazine. And this was many years ago. Isn't it interesting that that's exactly what's happening today, almost as if he knew it was going to happen, or maybe this whole thing has been staged? Of course, if I thought that, I'd have to think there was some sort of a conspiracy out there. Anything else, Nathan?
Well, people on the left are talking about this. People on the right are talking about this. Libertarians are talking about it. But there's a whole broad section of people who don't understand. Regardless of your views on some issues, the war or terrorism, we're not all going to agree on everything, but we can all agree that the Constitution needs to be protected. And I guess I would just end off with saying that just thanking both you and your guest for being voices for freedom of speech.
God bless you.
Thanks
so much, Nathan,
for the information.
Okay, I think that really, I remember when that came out back in the early 1970s.
Well,
and, of course, it's so important, because the whole theme was there was too much democracy, and we had to censor what the people read and heard and saw, because, of course, they were incapable of understanding, and we needed the elite to rule. And this is the position of the Trilateral Commission, whose purpose has always been to seize control of our domestic and commercial affairs so they could control the government of the United States. And that quotation or paraphrase of it comes from page 280 of Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies.
Well, and he's exactly right, because that's what is being scripted in our laws. In the USA Patriot Act, it's strengthening the rule of the elite. It really bothers me when I see language that appears like it's providing us some protections, because when you get down to section 316, it talks about anti-terrorist forfeiture protection. Oh good, here's protection for the citizen. And it clarifies your protection of your rights, and it says that you shall not be construed to deny an owner of property the right to contest the confiscation of assets or of suspected international terrorists. So it's telling us that they can confiscate property even if you're just a suspected terrorist. And that's pretty far gone. There's going to be an appointment, an authority, a federal receiver, and this person will be appointed upon application of a federal prosecutor or a federal or a state regulator by the court having jurisdiction over the defendant in a case. This person shall be an officer of the court, and will be the standing equivalent to that of a federal prosecutor. And the purpose is to obtain information regarding the assets. And this would be from the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And what's the Federal Crimes Enforcement Network? That's this huge arm that collects and organizes information. And then from a foreign country pursuant to, again, a mutual legal assistance treaty or a multilateral agreement or other arrangement for international law enforcement assistance. And here again, we have all of the coordination of our international law enforcement agencies, their regional training seminars, their standardization of mechanisms of collection and collation of information and dissemination and communication. And so, you know, when we get to all of this multilateral stuff, where does that put us in relation to the International Criminal Court? Does this mean that we're going to end up in the International Criminal Court?
You mean that we could end, you're asking if we could, if we are charged under this by somebody else, we could be taken to the International Criminal Court?
Well, that seems logical. When I was at the Millennium Summit in 2000, there was one of the top 50 treaties of the hundreds that are before the United Nations was the one for the International Criminal Court. So there's a tremendous amount of energy being expended by the global body to give flesh and strength to this International Criminal Court that we will all be subjected to.
Well, it's very interesting. Of course, the Bush administration is refusing to go along with the International Criminal Court. In fact, the Belgium now has passed a law, I think it's Belgium, that, you know, they can actually, somebody can sue you in Belgium, and of course you can be forced to go along with this or get a judgment against you, or they can bring criminal charges against people in the United States if somebody brings criminal charges against you in Belgium, and that would carry right over the United States. And we're saying you can't do that. They've already brought charges against Henry Kissinger and Tommy Franks. In fact, they're even talking about bringing charges against George Bush for invading Iraq without the permission of the United Nations.
Well, and this is wonderful rhetoric, but when we have the framework that's set up in our laws that are being implemented that are subjecting us to these multilateral agreements.
No, we are willingly giving up our national sovereignty so they could indict our president. Whether I agree with George Bush or not is not important. The thing is that, you know, the fact that he could be tried in a European court for crimes against humanity, I think is just totally wrong, because it means the end of national sovereignty. And I hope everybody out there, whether you supported the war or not, whether you supported what the president did or not, the idea that he would be subject to these international laws and this USA Patriot Act really being the law of the land, he could very well, under our own legislation, be subject to this. I wonder if he or any of the people in our government realize what they have done, the terror that is upon us from this legislation that was forced through Congress 46 days after the September 11th attack. This bill had been signed by the president and was the law of the land. Did he realize, of course, he is subject to the same laws as everybody else?
It's setting some very dangerous precedents. But, you know, that's a good question, Dr. Stan. Is he subject to the same laws as everybody else? And, you know, as you go through this legislation, it allows individuals to be exempted without any real, rhyme or reason.
Well, now, who can be exempted from this?
There is a place in here which I made a note, arbitrary and capricious, that anyone can be exempted from this that is
but
designated.
Who exempts them? Did the president exempt himself? Or?
I believe it's the president, and I'd have to find the specific section to get the language on it, but it's just at very high levels of authority. It would be the Secretary of, let's see, John Ashcroft is...
He's the Secretary, he's the Attorney General.
The Attorney General, and I think Secretary of State and the President.
So all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others?
Exactly, and that was very disturbing to find that in this document. The authority to suspend is only the Attorney General in consultation with the Secretary of the Treasury. May suspend or terminate a forfeiture. Okay, so there is the ability to suspend or terminate with relation to a forfeiture of property. And, of course, that's what this is all about, is the taking of assets. So so at those levels, they have the right to do that. In fact, there's no requirement for a government to trace funds. If a forfeiture action is brought, it's not necessary for the government to establish that the funds are directly traceable to the funds that were deposited in a foreign bank account if you're considered to be a terrorist. And this is really onerous on the financial institutions. There's a 120-hour rule that within 120 hours, when required to provide information, they must report that to the appropriate federal banking agency. This reporting can include any records maintained even outside of the United States, and in a foreign country, again, pursuant to any mutual legal assistance treaty, a multilateral agreement or other request for international law enforcement assistance. So this opens us up to requesting the cooperation of any international law enforcement body. And again, that's very open-ended language. One of the things that I found interesting in this section of the Patriot Act, having to do with finances, and let's see if I can find it, is it provides for the protection of all of the officers of the Federal Reserve. And
there's a special provision for protection of the officers of the Federal Reserve in the USA Patriot Act?
Yes, there is.
What are they protected from?
Well, from you and me.
In other words, maybe we might... people might be a little upset if they understood that the central bank is a privately owned entity, having really not in any way answerable to the American people, whose purpose is, of course, to manipulate the economy for the purposes of enriching the Federal Reserve and the central bankers.
That's right. That's it's Section 364, and it's called the Uniform Protection Authority for Federal Reserve Facilities, and it authorizes personnel to act as law enforcement officers to protect and safeguard the premises, grounds, property, personnel, including members of the board of any Federal Reserve Bank, and operations conducted by or on behalf of the board or a reserve bank.
Well, now are they being protected from the wicked Osama bin Laden, whose family is one of the richest group in the world, and of course, the very close friends of George Herbert Walker Bush, and of course, we're deeply invested with the Carlyle Group, headed by the former deputy director, former deputy director of the CIA, Frank Carlucci.
Well, if it does, Dr. Stan, further down in Section 3 of this, it says that they're authorized while on duty to carry firearms and make arrests without warrants.
Now, these are who? The people in the Federal Reserve?
Anybody that is deputized by the Federal Reserve as law enforcement and protection. And they can deputize anybody to serve as a law enforcer. And they can arrest people without a warrant.
It sounds like they almost are the government then. Because those are the rights that would be reserved to government.
And dictators and kings and queens. And such officers shall have access to law enforcement information that may be necessary for the protection of the property or personnel of the board or a reserve bank.
Joan, how much longer is it going to take us to get through the rest of this? Are we going to have to do another evening? Because we're certainly open to it. I think it's so important people understand what is in this incredible legislation. Is there enough there for another evening, you think?
Well,
Joan is nodding her head up and down.
Well,
on radio, you can't see that head moving.
You know, we're just only talking about the first 80 pages of the Act, and it's the bulk of it, but it deals with all of the financial aspects of our lives, Dr. Stan. And then we really should spend another segment talking about the rest of it, which talks about protecting the border, but it only talks about protecting the northern border. It doesn't mention the southern border.
Well, we wouldn't want to keep those nice Iraqi terrorists, those nice Islamic terrorists out there.
Right.
And we certainly wouldn't want to infringe on the constitutional rights. After all, the Ford Foundation, which is funding the illegal immigration movement, would probably not feel that that was a proper thing to do. After all, don't the terrorists have the same rights as anybody else?
Well, according to this, they do have a lot of rights. But I guess if they can make it across the southern border, we ought to open our arms and our hospitals and our checkbooks to them, right?
Right. In fact, you know, right now, why, of course, we're giving them free medical care. Right now, of course, here in California, illegal immigrants get, special reduced rates at our local colleges. Their children can come to our schools. In fact, right now, if you are a Mexican and you have a serious illness, a serious injury, you go into a hospital just south of the border and you don't have any money or you don't have any insurance, why, of course, they put you in an ambulance and they send you into Los Angeles. You are waved through the border checkpoints and you go to the hospital so that, of course, the people of Los Angeles and the people of California can pay for your medical care because, after all, you are a Mexican citizen entitled to all the rights and privileges of any American citizen. In fact, they're even going to be paying the people who come across the border and work here illegally Social Security. Isn't that nice? And yet, of course, as Pete Peterson recently said, our Social Security system is bankrupt.
Well,
what's wrong with this story? Well, anyway, of course, is there anything more in that first section on the financial section, which really I don't think the average person has any idea what is in that first section, because so much of it deals with international finance.
Exactly. Well, in Section 320, there was something that disturbed me about the proceeds of foreign crimes, and it talks about controlled substances, and we automatically think of drugs. But if we look at the Codex Alimentarius document that was adopted by the FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, and we see different moves towards controlling our vitamins and nutritional supplements. I think eventually anything that we have to support ourselves, aside from the pharmaceuticals and enforcing our immunity and taking care of ourselves, being the owners of our own health, is going to come under these onerous multilateral documents that are in existence. There is an enforcement of foreign judgments, and this was interesting. And again, because there's so many laws and things that are amended by this act, and you don't get the full text of all of those, this section talks about the United Nations Convention. That's the wording that's in the United States Code that's being amended. And after the United Nations Convention, it says that any violation of foreign law that would constitute a violation or an offense for which property could be forfeited under federal law if the offense were committed in the United States is added and amending United States Code.
So if you violate a foreign law, there would be an offense here. Then, of course, they can confiscate your property. Well, we're out of time. I'm sure there's so much more that we need to cover, but I think it's so important that people understand what this is all about, and we'll get Joan back for another evening. And, of course, you're going to need a copy of the USA Patriot Act. It is available up on the Internet, and we can, in fact, we probably can pull these down. We would have to, of course, to charge for them. They're great big. How many pages is this thing altogether?
143
pages. And yet, of course, it's so important that people get these items and, of course, have them available, go through them, so you can discuss this intelligently, because you're not getting this from Barbara Walters, Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. Well, this is the time, of course. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, Joan, for putting in all the work and getting this information. We'll get you back again. And then, of course, we want to tell our listeners and remind you, Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And certainly with our weekend programs reaching 35 different stations across America, I wish it was reaching 3,000 stations. And with your help, and perhaps one day it will be. But in the meantime, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, why, give us a call. We'll be glad to send it to you. And, of course, we'd be glad to send you one of our catalogs so you can find out more information about our ministry. Of course, if you'd like to go to our website, it's radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because this truly is a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. And then, first, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until next, well, till tomorrow evening at the same time, we'll be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.